anyone remember besides Steve? What was talked about last Sunday? I wasn't even here, but I remember because I was listening. Nobody remembers? Do you remember, Steve, what you preached last Sunday? What did you preach last Sunday? How to hear the voice of the Lord, absolutely. So we're talking about hearing. And he talked about hearing the voice of God. And so there were several different people came up, I believe, and obviously you shared about hearing the voice of God. And so I was thinking about that this week as well. We like to say we want to hear from the voice of God, but how much do we really want to hear the voice of God? It's a lot harder said. I'm sorry. It's a thing that's easier said than done. We all want to say, yes, God, speak to me, speak to me. We sing songs that way. Lord, speak to me. But we don't. I don't. Let me say it this way. I have a lot of room to grow in hearing from God. Yes, there are times that I have very clearly heard from God. And we're going to talk about some of that this morning. But what I want us to learn here is that us as people, us as families, us as a church, learn to hear from God. We are in situations that we've never dealt with before. Our parents have never dealt with before. Our grandparents, our great-grandparents never dealt with this COVID thing or whatever. It goes way beyond that. Even there's some situations you're probably facing that your mom and dad probably didn't have to face. So there are some things that my mom and dad never even faced before. And so they can't really tell me how to walk this out. There are some things in life that, you know, they experienced that I can say, hey, dad, you know, what's up here? How do you work with this? And he's like, oh, yeah, this happened to me, and I did this, 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 and this. It worked this way. Or I did this and this, and it didn't work. But there's some things that they can't speak into. But we know of someone who can. Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to look at this verse. You might as well turn your Bibles there because we're going to be looking at this chapter this morning. And here's one of the things that I believe God wants to do this morning is I believe God wants to speak something to you through this passage. The reason I'm so confident about this is because in seeking God this week about what to share, it was very clear to me that you share out of Isaiah chapter 43. Even until last night, there was something else I was going to bring in. But this morning again, it's like, Dale, Isaiah 43. So that's where we're going to go. So we're going to look at this. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. It says, but now, thus says the Lord. So we have God speaking here. Thus says the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. And we can choose to listen or we can choose not to listen when someone is speaking. Thus says the Lord. This is the Lord who created you. O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. So the first verse in this chapter is, here's what God is saying. God is saying something. He's saying it. This is the God that created you. The God that made you. He formed you. He didn't make a mistake when he made you. He made you just exactly how you are. He knew what the world needs. And so he created you. This is the God that's speaking. He created you and he formed you. In verse 1. And look what he says. Okay, start back in the beginning of the verse. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not. Really, it's interesting that that's the first thing that he says. The two words that he says, fear not. And fear not is all over Scripture, but I want us to get this morning. Fear not. There's a lot going on right now, and we all obviously know there's a lot of things we're aware of that can make us afraid. It can be all kinds of things. It can be the COVID-19. It can be, you know, being afraid of getting sick. It can be afraid of, you name it. You can put all kinds of things in here that you can be afraid of. Some people are afraid of snakes. Some people are afraid of spiders. Some people are afraid of, you know, just all kinds of fears out there that are out there that you can, if you agree to it, you can actually be afraid of it. Scripture says God didn't give you the spirit of fear. But this is, I find it interesting, this is the first thing that Jesus, or that God is saying here, don't be afraid. Fear not. I talked about, you know, us experiencing things that our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents didn't experience. God is still right here, and he's saying, don't be afraid. I got this. Fear not. Here's why. Fear not. Why? For I have redeemed you. Jesus is saying, I'm your redeemer. I redeemed you. I bought you back. You're mine. So therefore, since you're mine, you don't have to be afraid. When God, your heavenly Father, is your God, you don't have to be afraid. He says, don't be afraid because I redeemed you. You are mine, he says. So let's get this straight, who our Father is. And this being our Father, we don't need to fear. Because he's our God. He's got this. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. A lot of people call you, right? You probably get called. Some get called more than others. Most of the time it's on the phone. You get called. God is saying, good morning, guys. How are you? It's good to see you. Thanks for coming. God is saying, I call you by your name. Out of 7 billion people in the world right now, God knows our name. And he calls us by our name. And he says, you're mine. So that's just the first verse here in this chapter. God is saying, he's speaking. This is what the Lord says. The one that created you, the one that formed you. Don't be afraid because I redeemed you. I call you by your name, you're mine. That's identity. Finding our identity in Jesus Christ is what I'm talking about here. Verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. All right, so the first three words, or first four words, when you pass through. This is just a passing through. This is not a stopping. See, life is a journey. Life doesn't just stop. It keeps going, right? As long as we have life and breath here, we can't just stop time right now. It doesn't happen. That's something that's beyond our ability. Time keeps going. If we don't do anything, the clock is still going to go. Tomorrow is still going to be Monday, okay? When you pass through the waters, he says, I'm going to be with you. Now, some waters may not scare you. Some may. I don't know what for waters exactly they're talking about here. It may be 2 inches deep. It may be a foot deep. But either way, it says, when you pass through the waters. It may be a little scary because it may be something different when you pass through the waters. So let's just figure, I'm just going to say a foot deep here, okay? What we're talking about here. If you would have never went through a foot of water, it may be a little more scary. If you've been through lots of waters at a foot deep, it's not going to be as scary. It's part of life. It's part of experience. You know, when you've experienced something several times, it's not as scary, generally. And but there was a time where you experienced it first. So God is saying, when you pass through, when you're passing through the waters, it's like, you know what, I'm going to be with you there as well. Whether it's the first time, whether it's the second time, and maybe some of you are just passing through some waters right now that are just, something's new about it. But God's saying, I'm with you. When you pass through the waters, I am right there. All right, then when you pass through the waters, he says, I will be with you. Then he says, and through the rivers. Now we're getting a little bit bigger. Going through a little creek at a foot deep is one thing, but now this is a river. So this river, when I think of a river, I think of something pretty big. Okay, lots of current, pretty wide. You certainly can't see the bottom in the river. And so we're getting a little deeper here. We're getting a little more difficult. And God is saying, even when you pass through the rivers, I'm still going to be with you. And maybe the river is deeper than you. Maybe you're going to have to swim. You don't know. A lot of rivers, you don't know what the bottom is. And maybe that's where some of you are right now in the season you're at. You don't know what's bottom anymore. And you're ending up trying to swim. But God is saying, I am with you. Even in this river. When you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Then he says, when you walk through the fire. Really, now we're getting a little more intense here. We're talking about fire. Now, fire is something that we know not to mess with. Generally speaking, you don't mess with a fire for the most part. Because a fire can do you damage if you're not careful. It can really hurt you if you're not careful. But if you're careful, it can purify you as well. And so God is, I'm seeing him taking this to a deeper level here yet. And saying, you know what, even if you walk through a fire, what does he say? When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. So this here, I see as a very intense situation when you're in the middle of a fire. And obviously I was thinking of Daniel, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the reason they were thrown into a fire and them standing in the middle of a fire and not getting burned at all. True story. That would be amazing. I mean, I know you've probably thought about that. You probably processed that. But I was thinking about that again the other day, the Shadrach, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And not only did they stand up for what they knew was right, they knew there was going to be a consequence, they knew they could get thrown in, but to be actually hurled into a fire that they made seven times hotter, which that to me is amazing too. I mean, they must have had some kind of ways to give that thing air and open that thing up to make it seven times hotter. But then to actually be thrown into a little literal fire and not even be burned. But I believe there's things for us that we can get thrown or we can get put into situations where God can take us into a situation that from our perspective is very intense, very difficult from our perspective. But God is saying, I'm going to be with you. And I believe God is speaking that to you this morning. You may be in either waters, or you may be in rivers, or you might be going through a fire right now, but God is saying, you're not going to be burned. I'm with you, because I'm your God. And see, when I look at When I think about our Heavenly Father and knowing that His care for you, He wants to take you and He wants to melt you and make you become a better person, giving you an easy life of peaches and cream isn't going to grow you. And God knows that. The American dream comes against, I believe, the way that God wants us to grow in our spiritual life. Because the American dream is, you know, have it all easy. If there's something difficult, then there's something wrong. You know, more money, buy more things, just live life at ease. That's not God's perspective in wanting you to grow. God will bring you rivers. God will bring you waters. God will also bring you fire. But He doesn't let you there by yourself. He says, you know what? I'm with you. So no matter what situation you're going through this morning, God is saying, even if it's outside, there's all kinds of situations. It may be outside these three things, but God is saying, you know what? I'm with you. I'm just simply right here. And there is nobody better to have right with you in your situation than your Heavenly Father. For me, sometimes, too often, I forget this concept. And I look at the fire, at the water, at the rivers, and I look at my circumstances, and I forget God, to my shame. Verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. And we could talk about that for a while as well, just God's love for us. He's saying this right after he's saying, I'm going to be with you in all your circumstances. For God so loved us. God's love for us is absolutely incredible. We can't fathom the amount of love God has for us. God truly loves you. He does. And He cares about you greatly, so much that He died for you. He's not going to let you hang, even in the fire. Verse 5, here he says it again. The first two words in verse 5, he says, fear not, for I am with you. Why does he repeat it several verses later? Does he think we'll forget? Probably because we do. We do. Here he just comes again, I'm with you, don't be afraid. This is after he spoke of being in the waters, after he spoke of being in the rivers, after he spoke of being in the fire. Fear not, because I'm with you. Verse 6, I will say to the north, give them up, to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name. Remember at the beginning of the chapter, he says, I call you by name. Here, verse 7, he says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I formed him, yes, I made him. There's other verses in Scripture, too, as well, that God says, the reason we are created is for His glory. That's why we were made. We're not forced to bring Him glory. We have a choice. But that's why we were created. One of the main reasons we were created is to bring God glory. And so are you bringing God glory? How can you bring God glory if you're in the middle of a fire? When everything is so intense, everything is so hot, and you feel God purifying you, there's things being burned off of you, how can you glorify God in that situation? It's a difference between the way we think and the way God thinks. Because God takes those situations And he says, I'm going to be right with you. And remember this, it says, when you pass through the fire. It's not something that we're just staying in and living in. It may seem that way, because sometimes it seems way too long that we're in difficult moments. But God is saying, when you pass through that, I'm going to be with you. And I know what I'm doing. I know what's best to make you become a man or a woman that I want you to be. And in order for you to become that, this is what I want you to go through. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Verse 8, bring out the blind people, you who have eyes, and all the deaf who have ears. Let the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among you can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, is it truth? You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord. Besides me, there is no other Savior. I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed. There was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. There is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work. And who will reverse it? Do you notice those two words that says, I work? Notice who's doing the working here. God says, I work. And the work that I do doesn't get reversed. So let's allow God to work in our life. He is working in all kinds of ways. I guarantee you, if you would stop and there's something in your life that God is doing right now, he's working in one way or another. So let him work. Allow him to work. Sometimes we ask God to change our circumstances when it's him that brings the circumstances in. And the reason he brought those circumstances in was to make you a better person. But in our minds, we forget that God is working here. And so we ask him to remove the circumstances because we just want an easier life. And God says, I'm at work here. So let God do his work in your life. Recognize that he is working, that he is with you. He says, don't be afraid. When you pass through on the journey, he's with you. Where were we at? What verse was that in? That was verse 13. Verse 14, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send Israel to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Verse 16, thus says the Lord. Remember, we're talking about hearing. Now here God says again, thus says the Lord. He's speaking. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. God can do these things. God can make a way in the sea for you. If he leads you to it, he's going to lead you through it. So I know what I said a little bit earlier, we pray for God to change the circumstance. I'm not saying that praying is all wrong. Okay, you may pray that if you want, because God can change the circumstance. And I think sometimes he does change our circumstance. But here it says, when you pass, he'll make a way through the sea. He'll make a way through the mighty waters. And so as you're going through that, if you pray for that and he does that, hallelujah, he's still working. The thing that we need to be careful of is when we pray for something and God answers it, that we don't take the glory on ourselves and say, oh, we did it. That's pride. And that's taking the glory directly away from God. If God did it, let's be careful to give him the glory. If he opens the sea, or if you go on, he makes a path through the mighty waters. If he does that for you, praise God that he did that for you. Verse 17, he brings the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Verse 18, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals, the ostriches, because I gave water to them in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen, this people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. For me, verse 19, when I think of God speaking to me, specifically, in verse 19, God very clearly spoke this to me back in 2003. And I knew God was going to do something very specific because he spoke very clear through this verse to my life. But before we get there, let's look at verse 18. One verse before, it says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Then verse 19, he starts out, behold, I will do a new thing. And I believe we're in a I believe we're in a time era right now that God is going to do a new thing. I really believe that. But look at verse 18 before that. Yes, we can get all hung up on this. God's going to do a new thing. Yes, but look at verse 18. He says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. See, it's important not to bring all the old stuff with you when God is doing a new thing. And we tend to do that. God wants to do a new thing, but yet we don't want to let go of our past. And this morning, what I believe God is telling us here this morning, let go of the former things. Behold, I'm going to do a new thing. It's going to happen. It's going to come forth. I know for me, this verse back in 2003. It was just after I came home from Thailand, not knowing what's next in life for me at that point. There was one week, three mornings in a row, I went to have my devotions. That my Bible, this was not intentional. That's why I know it was God. I opened my Bible, and the first verse that I looked at was Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Three mornings in a row. That was so impactful in my life, I knew it was God speaking. And he did. God wants to speak. God can speak in all different ways, and I'm not going to go off more what Steve spoke about last week. That was really good. But God, for me personally, I wasn't here to share how God speaks to me. God speaks in many different ways. For me personally, when I look at things that God very clearly spoke to me, this is my experience. It was through the Word of God. I have scriptures in my Bible that when I was reading the Word of God, it just like poof, I knew it was God. So when I look at this, there were several times, very influential, impactful times, that God spoke to me through a verse or verses. This was one of them. This was one time. I believe the more time we spend in the Word of God, the more opportunity we give God to speak. I'm not saying that God only speaks through His Word. because he speaks through friends, he speaks through other people, he speaks through circumstances. I'm aware of that. I believe that. But God does speak through this as well. The word of God. It's his word. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. I will make a, it says, I will even make a road in the wilderness and a river in the desert. And that's some things that our minds don't even think about sometimes. When we come to a wilderness and God says, you know what, this new thing, it's very possible that God wants to do something in your life that he'll make a road right through the wilderness that you didn't even know the road was there. Or in the desert, he says, I'll make a river or rivers in the desert. In your circumstances, in your desert that you might be in or we might be in, God can literally just put a river right in there and you can have water. Or do all kinds of other stuff. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Verse 20, I find it interesting. I just think this is really cool. The beasts of the field are going to honor me. The jackals, the ostriches. Because I gave them water and rivers, they're going to honor me, it says. I had a brain freeze there. So even the animals are going to honor me when I do something new. This isn't just about us. God created all the animals and everything as well, and they worship God in their own realm. Verse 21, the people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. It's important for us when God does the work for us to declare his praise. Verse 22, I'll quick wrap this up here. Verse 22, he switches here a little bit. He's talking about an unfaithful servant here, verse 22. But you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for the burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offering, nor wearied you with incense. You have bought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. You have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. Really? Yeah, he's talking about unfaithfulness here. You have burdened me with your sins. This is God speaking back in the beginning of the chapter, and then even in verse 16, thus says the Lord. Now he brings in this. This is possible for us to do this, to burden God with our sins, to weary him with his iniquities, our iniquities. Verse 25, look what he does in verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Your first father sinned and your mediators have transgressed against me. Therefore, I will proclaim the princes of the sanctuary. I will give Jacob to the curse and Israel to the reproaches. And that ends Isaiah chapter 43. What I want you to learn here this morning, what I want myself to learn here this morning, is now thus says the Lord. This chapter opens up, now thus says the Lord. God wants to speak. He says how important you are. I redeemed you. You're redeemed. You're called by, he calls you by name. When you pass through the waters, pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. When you go through the rivers, I'm going to be with you. When you go through the fire, you're not going to be burned because I am your God. I am. God cares about you so much. He allows these situations to come into your life to better you, not to destroy you. Satan wants to destroy you. God's intent to take you through moments of whatever it is are for your good. And he doesn't even make you go through it yourself. He says, I'm with you. So I want to bless you in your journey wherever you're at this morning. In knowing that God is right with you as you're passing through your situations in life. God's got something in mind out here that is beautiful. And that's what he's making. That's his goal, to make something completely beautiful out of you. So let him do it. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I want to thank you that you're God. Father, I want to thank you for this passage. Lord, I want to thank you that you created us. You formed each one of us. We are created in your image. And Father, you want to make something beautiful for each person here this morning. You want to make something beautiful for each family. You want to make something beautiful for our church. But Father, in the way that you beautify, the way you make things beautiful is through rivers and waters and fire. But God, I want to thank you for those moments. And I want to thank you that you are so interested in making us beautiful and better people. You allow us and you go with us as we pass through these circumstances. Father, help us not throw in the towel. It is easy for us to quit when we're faced with difficult situations. God, give us the strength and the courage to recognize what you're doing. You're about making us better. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thanks for what you're going to do this week. Lord, I bless each person here in Jesus' name. And Father, as we go from here, may we be your hands and feet. May we live with purpose. May we live with passion. May we live with joy and be all that you intended for us to be. God, you're good. Thanks for what you're doing. We honor you. We praise you. Help us to do better as well, to be careful to give you all the honor and glory for what you're doing. Father, forgive us for the times that we've taken things into our own hands and we've said, look what we did or look what we experienced, when it was actually you doing the work. Forgive us for the times where we said that. And help us, Father, to give you all the honor and glory and praise for what you're doing, because you make everything beautiful in your time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks for coming. Bless you, each one.